It's nice to be with you tonight. Appreciate the fact that you've come. We urge you to get your Bible and examine the things that are said in light of what the Book of God teaches. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 14 through 19, wise Solomon spoke of two paths. The path of the wicked, saying, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." And then he spoke in verse 18 of the path of the just, how it is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It's a good time for us to ask ourselves, which path are we on? The path of the wicked or the path of the just? May our feet always be inclined to walk the path of the just. In keeping with our theme, why we don't, tonight we talk about why we don't use tobacco, a product prepared from the leaves of the tobacco plant. It's smoked in cigarettes, cigars, pipes, consumed as snuff, and chewing tobacco, dipping tobacco. In 2013, according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, almost 55.8 million Americans, that's 21.3% of the population, were current cigarette smokers. 12.4 million smoked cigars, more than 8.8 million used smokeless tobacco, and over 2.3 million smoked tobacco and pipes. That's a lot of people, isn't it? That's a lot of tobacco use. And sometimes we might be asked, why don't we? Well, let me give you some reasons as to why I choose not to use tobacco. First of all, it harms the body. Are you aware of that? The National Institute on Drug Abuse states cigarette smoking accounts for about one-third of all cancers, one-third, including 90% of lung cancer cases. Some people think that smokeless is harmless, yet they tell us smokeless tobacco, such as chewing tobacco and snuff, also increases the risk of cancer, especially the oral cancers. According to the World Health Organization, smokeless tobacco is a known cause of cancer. In addition, the nicotine in smokeless tobacco may increase the risk for sudden death from a condition where the heart does not beat properly. And so, contrary to some people's thinking, smokeless is not harmless, is it? You know, we're taught to properly use and respect this body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. And so you'll have to determine in your own mind whether or not smoking, chewing, is glorifying God in your body. But then another reason why we don't. Not only does it harm the body, but it brings premature death. According to the Center for Diseases Control and Prevention, tobacco use is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Cigarette smoking results in more than 480,000 premature deaths in the United States each year. About one in every five U.S. deaths, and an additional 16 million people suffer with a serious illness caused by smoking. In fact, for every one person, listen to this, every one person who dies from smoking, about 30 more people suffer from at least one serious tobacco-related illness. The life expectancy for smokers is at least 10 years shorter than for non-smokers. In a health textbook, A Healthier You, one American dies every 1.5 minutes from the effects of tobacco. However long we're here tonight, you just divide that by 1.5, and that's how many people have died just in that amount of time from tobacco-related causes. You remember the Hall of Fame baseball player Tony Gwynn, who not too long ago died from cancer in the salivary gland, attributed to his habit of chewing tobacco. I'd like to share with you little story of a young man named Sean Marcy. Sean Marcy, a high school senior, had won 28 medals for his athletic feats. Because he wanted to remain healthy and fit, he avoided cigarettes. However, as an alternative, he began dipping snuff, which he saw professional baseball players using with no obvious ill effects. Eventually, Sean was using 3/4 of a can of snuff every day. He didn't realize the harm he was doing to his body until an ugly red spot appeared on his tongue. The doctor was concerned and took a biopsy, removing a small amount of tissue, which was immediately tested for abnormal cells. The sore was cancerous. After removing part of Sean's tongue, the doctor discovered that the cancer had spread to his neck. Another operation had to be performed, this time leaving an ugly scar from Sean's ear to his breastbone. Radiation treatments followed, but they did not halt the cancer. Part of Sean's jawbone then had to be removed. By this time, his face was so disfigured that a friend who came to visit him fainted. Less than a year after Sean discovered the red spot in his mouth, he was dead. Sean lost the ability to speak, but he wrote 2 messages before he died, and one of those was a warning to young people not to dip snuff. You know, life is short as it is, isn't it? The psalmist said in Psalm 89 and in verse 47, "Remember how short my time is." In Psalm 90, 9 and 10, the psalmist said, "The days of our years are 70, that's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80. Yet it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So why shorten it? Most people don't want to shorten their lives. They want to do what they can to extend their lives. They want to try to find a fountain of youth somewhere. Or what can I do to add years to my life? Like Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20, when he was told, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die," he prayed to the Lord. And as a result, 15 years were added unto his days. And so they harm the body, they bring premature death, but also tobacco use is such that it inflicts harm to others. The National Institute on Drug Abuse reports the harmful effects of smoking extend far beyond the smoker. Exposure to secondhand smoke can cause serious diseases and death. Each year, an estimated 88 million non-smoking Americans are regularly exposed to secondhand smoke, and almost 41,000 non-smokers die from diseases caused by secondhand smoke exposure. That goes against the golden rule, does it? "Therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them," Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. It goes against love of one's neighbor, as Jesus taught, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," in Matthew 22:39. And when the apostle said in the book of Philippians 2 and verse 4, "Look every man also on the things of others." Think of the poor, innocent children suffering with coughing, wheezing, asthma attacks, bronchitis, pneumonia, ear infections, and other serious health conditions related to secondhand smoke. And so it inflicts harm to others, doesn't it? But also, it is addicting. Reports of the Surgeon General have concluded that cigarettes and tobacco products are addicting and that nicotine is the drug in tobacco that causes addiction. Now, electronic cigarettes are popular, and vaping, you see the signs for those in different places as they've cropped up all around different parts. The National Institute on Drug Abuse has revealed electronic cigarettes produce a flavored nicotine vapor that has been shown to contain known carcinogens and toxic chemicals, as well as potentially toxic metal nanoparticles from the vaporizing mechanism. According to data published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Center for Tobacco Products, current e-cigarette use among middle and high school students tripled from 2013 to 2014. Findings from the 2014 National Youth Tobacco Survey show that current e-cigarette use among high school students increased from 4.5% in 2013 to 13.4%. in 2014, rising from approximately 660,000 to 2 million students. Among middle school students, current e-cigarette use more than tripled from 1.1% in 2013 to 3.9% in 2014, an increase from approximately 120,000 to 450,000 students. And so that shows that this behavior, this activity is on the increase. And the CDC director said, we want parents to know that nicotine is dangerous for kids at any age, whether it's an e-cigarette, hookah, cigarette, or cigar. And Centers for Disease Control and Prevention would inform us, adolescence is a critical time for brain development. Nicotine exposure at a young age may cause lasting harm to brain development, promote addiction, and lead to sustained tobacco use. And so it's well reported that tobacco is addicting. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I will not be brought under the power of any. Instead of addicting yourself to the use of tobacco, how about being addicted to the ministry, as the apostle taught in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15? But also, we choose to avoid tobacco use because it is costly. Have you thought about the cost of tobacco use? In addition to the cost to one's health, the economic cost of tobacco is staggering. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that more than $300 billion a year, including nearly $170 billion in direct medical care and more than $156 billion in lost productivity due to premature death and exposure to secondhand smoke. According to the American Cancer Society, the average price per pack of cigarettes in the United States is $6.36. The health-related cost to you per pack of cigarettes, according to the American Cancer Society, $35. Now, you multiply that by the number of packs smoked and think about all the valuable resources and the opportunities that have been missed because of that cost. Evidently, insurance companies recognize some merit in not using tobacco as they offer discounts on insurance premiums to non-smokers. But also, we don't use tobacco because it's a gateway drug. According to the National Institutes of Health, a new study shows how tobacco products could act as gateway drugs, opening the door to use of illicit drugs. We talked about drug use last night and why we don't use drugs. And many of those who are using drugs started out by using tobacco. Nicotine, the researchers found, makes the brain more susceptible to cocaine addiction. Scientists have long recognized that cigarettes and alcohol raise the risk for later use of illicit drugs like marijuana and cocaine. In a recent national survey, over 90% of adult cocaine users between the ages of 18 and 34 had smoked cigarettes before they began using cocaine. And so if they would not have used cigarettes, then that same percentage would not be using cocaine, would they? And so it's a gateway drug. But also, we don't use tobacco because it wasn't used by the Lord. Do we determine what we do or don't do based upon what the Lord would have done or not done? Can you envision Jesus walking around among people of his time with tobacco couched under his lip? Can you picture him in his conversation with Nicodemus?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and the Spirit.
Can you really see him doing that? Can you? Or in his conversation with the woman at the well, having a cigarette in his hand, and say, give me to drink. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, can you see him doing that? Can you? I can't see that. Now let me suggest to you that if you can see Jesus doing that, if that you think that was his example that he said, then I would encourage you to go ahead and do it. If you think that's the example that he said. After all, in the book of 1 Peter, he set an example, didn't he, that we should follow his steps. And so if that's what he did, do that. But if he didn't do that, why would I want to do that? It wasn't used by the Lord. But also, I choose not to use tobacco because it undermines one's influence for good. You think tobacco use makes a person a pattern of good works? Do you? Read the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. When Paul urged the young man to be a pattern of good works. That is something to be imitated, something to be followed. Does it help us to be an example of the believers? In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Would you want your children or your grandchildren to do it? Would you? Would you recommend to your little crumb cruncher that you ought to start dipping or lighting up? You know, beer in the fridge, cigarettes in the pocket, just wait a few days and that's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be imitating you and me. They're going to follow in our steps, aren't they? And so like the poem says, walk a little plainer, Daddy. Right? And so if I wouldn't want my son to do that, then I best not do it either. It'd be kind of hard for me to say, now don't do as I do as I say. That won't work, will it? What about Gideon in the book of Judges 7 and in verse 17? Would you say to another as Gideon of old with a cigarette, look on me and do likewise? Would you do that? Think about that. You know, there are a multitude of tobacco users that have sought to quit and earnestly warned others to do the same. I want to close with a little letter to Ann Landers that was first published in 1976 in response to a letter from a mother whose 17-year-old daughter was hooked on cigarettes. This letter reflects my own feelings about cigarettes after 24 years of smoking. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm still at it. I doubt this letter will have the slightest impact on the heavily addicted. For me, all the words in the world will not take place of that first cigarette in the morning. I'd rather address myself to your readers who are 17, as I once was, with a set of healthy lungs, white teeth, clean blood coursing through my veins, and in my pocket, my first package of cigarettes. How was I to know that 24 years later, I'd be so hooked that any thought of quitting would be out of the question? How could I know at 17 that I'd be waking up each morning with a mouth that tastes like the bottom of a birdcage? How could I know my teeth would be stained and my chest feel as if it were filled with cement? All I knew was that smoking was the cool thing to do. It made me feel grown up. Although I've never seen my lungs, I know how they must look. My uncle, who is a surgeon, once showed me some before and after pictures. "Sit in on an autopsy one of these days," he said. "You'll see that the non-smoker's lungs are bright pink. When I open up the chest cavity of a smoker, the entire respiratory system is nearly black, depending on how long he has smoked. Still, I continue the filthy habit, going half crazy on mornings when I'm out of cigarettes. I go digging through ashtrays and waste baskets for a butt to satisfy my craving. Then I hurry, unshaven, hand over another 55 cents for a package of suicide." That was the price back in 1976. "With that first puff, I realized nothing about it tastes good. Those ads are a lot of baloney. But the people that sell cigarettes don't care about you. You're hooked and they love it. Their ads tell you to come on. But don't be fooled, 17. It's not a bandwagon you'll be hopping on. It's a hearse. If I could write ads, I'd show pictures of myself, coughing my head off, gargling away a rotten taste that keeps returning, spending money I can't afford. Silly me, sucking on a little white pacifier. Then I'd show you pictures of clothes I'd burned and the people I've offended with my breath, my smoke, my ashes, my matches, and my butts. This is me, 17, a rasping, spitting, foggy-brained addict who has let the habit consume me. I'm a can't-quitter who creates his own air pollution, who prefers carbon monoxide to oxygen, whose sinuses are constantly draining. Me with the yellow fingers and the foul breath, smoking more and enjoying it less. Telling you that I wish to God someone had wised me up when I was 17. Tobacco and nicotine may be good as a pesticide, but we set it aside, right? And when it comes to this body, we say none inside. Right? Why? For lots of good reasons. And each one of us is going to have to make up our mind as to whether or not we're going to involve ourselves in the activities we're talking about this week. Just like Monday night, we talked about why we don't drink alcoholic beverages. Last night, why we don't use drugs. Tonight, why we don't use tobacco. Tomorrow night, if the Lord will, why we don't gamble. And Friday night, why we don't participate in the modern dance. We're going to be faced with those things. I never had been faced with alcohol or drugs until we moved up here. During the freshman year of high school, we switched schools. I was in Edgewood schools up to that point, down in the Ellisville area. And then went out to Cascade as a freshman in high school. I believe it was the first week I was approached with drugs. Folks back in Ellisville knew me. I knew them as newcomer. And I was made to look as if I was the only one in the class that wasn't involved in marijuana. That's been a few years ago. I don't know what it's like today. You think it's gotten better? I hope it has. But evidently, they had all kind of parties, and marijuana use was pretty frequent. I never did involve myself in that. But I feel for these young people who have to deal with that kind of pressure day in and day out, and urge you to just say no, whether it be marijuana or some other drug or alcohol that's put before you, or tobacco use or a cigarette, to develop the purpose of Daniel, back in the book of Daniel, who the Bible says purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself. He didn't wait till the situation presented itself to make up his mind as to what he was going to do. But he had predetermined, he had planned ahead. And that's what I need to do. If you've not made up your mind tonight, do it right now, that whenever somebody presents that first beer or glass of wine or cigarette or whatever it may be, to just say no. I'm not going to do that. Why don't you determine tonight that I want to walk in the path of the just? And maybe you haven't set out on that path tonight. Everything has been made convenient and is ready for you to do that this evening. The path of the just is as a shining light. But to walk that path is to walk in the light of the Lord and His Word. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I would encourage all of us to be what the Bible makes us, to do what it teaches us, and to go in the way in which it leads us. To realize that as Daniel, eating at Nebuchadnezzar's table would involve him in defiling himself, that there are practices tonight in which you and I could involve ourselves that would cause us to become unclean before God. Jesus talked about those things that defile a man. And I remember in the book of Revelation when John talked about the beautiful city of God, he said, nothing shall enter into it that defileth. If you've not been made clean or pure from your sins, you can do that tonight. You can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you believe with all of your heart and repent of your sins to confess your faith? I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be happy to baptize you tonight. And every sin that you've committed in your past that you've turned from will be washed away, and you can be made clean, to be forgiven, not to be remembered again. That's one of the better promises of the better covenant. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. But perhaps you've been baptized and you've not been what you need to be. You've gotten sidetracked. You've turned aside from the path of the just. Perhaps you've gotten in with the wrong crowd. I've known of some people, some young folks that were good people, good young people, and their parents did a lot of good things for them and tried to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and then something happened, and somebody asked, what happened? And it be said, well, they just got in with the wrong crowd. They got in with the wrong people. And because of their associates and their friends, they took a different path. And that's sad. If you've gotten off the right path, you need to get back on it tonight through repentance, confession, and prayer. We're helpful to do that. We're here praying for you, pleading with you. You're among those who want to help you make it to heaven. That's what we're after. Just like Moses said to his father-in-law, we're headed to the place the Lord has spoken of. Come and go with us and we'll do thee good. And if we can help you in any way in making your life right with God, or if we can pray for you, we're here to do that. If you'll make your way to the front while we stand and sing the song.